So from a storage perspective, and several analysts have written about this too, there are several workloads that are very cloud friendly. One is burst, burst performance, burst capacity, but burst, not standard. Backup, archive, disaster recovery is an ideal thing. You put it out to the cloud, and if you have an earthquake or fire or, of course, a flood or whatever it is that damages your data center, you can recover right out of the clouds.
Dumbo listeners, this episode is brought to you in part by OS Nexus is an industry leader in software-defined storage, helping you maximize storage platforms like Ceph and OpenZFS. Choose the easy way to manage your storage and reduce costs with less effort. Go to osnexus.com to get an expanded community edition now. Welcome back to today's episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I'm your host, Demetrius, and today we're discussing a critical challenge for businesses everywhere, and this is around how to modernize enterprise storage while reducing complexity, cutting costs, and also improving performance. And so today, joining me in his famous Hawaiian shirt is Eric Herzog, who is the Chief Marketing Officer over at Infinidat. Welcome to the Gumbo, Eric. How are you?
Demetrius, thank you. Love doing Data Protection Gumbo. Probably done 8 or 9 of these things over the years. So again, thank you for inviting Infinidat to participate.
Absolutely. It's always a joy to have you on. And let me throw an icebreaker over at you. If storage infrastructure were an Olympic sport, what event would Infinidat dominate in and why?
So we would dominate in the one event, since I have to pick one. It would be the 100-meter dash.
Okay.
We are known for our performance. On the enterprise storage side, we're sitting at 35 mics of latency. So all highly transactional workloads, all the big databases, right? Most of what you would do in finance, logistics, manufacturing, those are all things that are performance sensitive to latency. And with such a low latency, we can optimize performance better than anyone else. Now, it does have a sidebar effect, is with having that performance, we can actually help consolidate physical storage items. So let's take an example. Almost all flash arrays, as you fill the array physically with more data, they slow down. Because of our neural cache technology, which is software, we have over 20 patents on it, we never slow down. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't have what we do, you buy an all-flash array, you start filling it up, it slows down, you have to buy another one. Or you want to add 4 more workloads, you try to add them to the same physical array and you can't, so you have to buy 4 more. So the storage analysts refer to it as small array sprawl, where you have tons of small arrays of all flash all over their data center. And that is clearly not reducing costs in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. And that's fascinating. And talk to me about just overall, so from traditional storage to where we are today, what are some of the maybe largest or biggest challenges that you see during all of your conversations just around enterprise storage, and what are customers asking you?
So there's a couple different areas. First of all, is how can I reduce cost and complexity, right? They want to spend money on AI. If you think about it, I've been doing this now for almost 40 years. I'm almost 70 years old, and I have met close to 1,000 CIOs. Not one has ever been an ex-storage admin. So all the CIOs know they need it, but they hate it. It's expensive from a CapEx perspective. It's OpEx expensive, right? Mm-hmm. What are the IT resources you need? Power, cooling, floor space, rack space. It takes a lot. So that's one. Second one is performance. We already talked about how we'd shine in the Olympics. Performance. What can you do? I've never, ever had anyone, whether it be up the food chain or down to the individual storage contributor, saying, I want a slower piece of storage. That just never happens. So they want to make sure you're performant. Ease of use, right? So the easier it is to use, that ties back to saving money on OpEx and controlling costs. Cyber. It's all about cyber attacks. The average enterprise suffers an average of 1,600 cyber attacks every week. And according to security analysts, not storage analysts, guys who look at security, the cost to enterprises for everything. Now, this includes paying ransom, data loss, all the software and systems to try to stop malware and ransomware. This year, $10.5 trillion. So how can you help me do my cyber better to save money, to keep my data protected? Other than your employees, probably the most valuable asset of any company is its data. It's employees okay. first, and then it's data. That's the reality. I don't care whether you're in high tech, whether you're in low tech, whether you're B2B, whether you're B2C. It is your people and then your data. If you don't have your data, you can't take orders, you can't ship, you can't build, you can't develop if you are in high tech. You can't architect if you're an architect firm, right? It's all done by a computer now. No one sits there and draws architectural diagrams by hand, right? So all these things. So you've got the cyber side, the cost side, the performance side. They always want their applications faster. Ease of use, because that ties back into saving costs. So those are the big things that enterprises say to us all the time on here's the big issues facing us.
Okay. So all the different types of things, performance, cost, I guess also another one as well is cybersecurity. So making sure that the data on these large enterprise storage arrays, that they are secure. What are you still seeing and having lots of conversations around ransomware and protecting against ransomware? Is that something that you see more innovation on the side of protecting against ransomware? Just on the storage front, do you see more innovation coming from that front?
So we ourselves have won 17 awards and analyst write-ups about what we do with what we call InfiniSafe. But one of the key things is, whether it's at the CIO level or for companies that have CISOs, usually they don't think about storage. They think about the application layer. They think about the networks. They think about the edge, right? The castle wall and the moat. But even though storage is holding all that valuable data, they don't realize that if you want a comprehensive cybersecurity strategy, you need to include your storage as well. So from a storage perspective, what we do with what we call InfiniSafe allows us to do a number of different things, allows us to separate the data plane and the access plane, create a fence forensic environment. Remember, it's not if you'll be attacked, it's when and how often. We guarantee things like the recovery time. So if you're going to get attacked and they're going to get through $10.5 trillion problem in 2025, according to security analysts, you want to recover as fast as you can. And of course, you need to recover good data. Remember, the malware and ransomware, the cyber criminals, if you will, they're not pounding their chest like King Kong or Godzilla and screeching. It's all done completely surreptitiously. If you will, like Jason Bourne, who, as you remember in the first movie, he couldn't even remember he was a spy, right? He was that secret, that deep. So you've got to be able to make sure recovering what in the backup world, and I know you used to be a backup guy for years, is a known good copy of the data. Mm-hmm. So whether that be the primary storage data, whether it be backup data, we work with all the major backup vendors, Veeam, Veritas, Commvault, IBM Protect, Zerto, doesn't matter. We work with all of them. So we have a purpose-built backup appliance, which has cyber on that. The one thing we do that's very unique is we integrate with data center cybersecurity packages. For example, Microsoft Sentinel, IBM QRadar, Fortinet, Splunk, all these companies that have cybersecurity software, we can seamlessly integrate so that when they see a threat on their side, we automatically start doing things on storage. The idea, of course, as you know well from your past, is trying to reduce that threat window, right? The more you can shrink the threat window, the better it is. And you want to make sure that, and these packages will see other things that you wouldn't see in storage. And the last thing we've done is add a capability of scanning the storage for malware and ransomware. In InfiniSafe cyber detection, it's over 99.99% effective, validated by a third party, not by us. And what it does is allows you scan for cyber anomalies. Okay. It'll notify the security team, the storage team. You can do seamless integration the other direction, where it will send a note to the SIM team or the SOAR team, right, for those data center-wide cybersecurity packages. So that's how you fit in into the cyber world. And storage is critical. Other than your people, the most valuable data thing you've got is that data. And if the data is destroyed, malware, held for ransom, ransomware, that can have a dramatic impact. In fact, as you probably know well from your past, in the US, Japan, and the EU, publicly traded companies, if you have a cyber attack, you have to publicly file a document. In fact, one company, one of the largest top 10 global Fortune 500, top 10 in the world, last year they had to file a document in the United States with the Securities Exchange Commission. $1.9 billion was the total cost of that attack. MGM Grand, the big casinos, which are all over the world, more in the US, but they also have stuff in Macau and other places, $130 million. And this is now public, so it doesn't matter whether a European company. Oh, and by the way, for global, if you're doing operations in that area, so if you're a US company, you're doing business in Europe, you have a cyber attack, you have to not only file in the US, you have to file in Europe as well. Right. So global, if you will, that global Fortune 2000, this is a huge issue because not only do you have to fight it, avoid the cyber threats, make sure you recover, but now you have to publicly tell everybody if you're a publicly traded company. So that global Fortune 2000, they don't really want people to know they've had a cyber attack, but now they have to file all over the world. And so it's a big deal. So that cyber detection helps us get a known good copy. And to scan so that they can try to avoid, right? By we can send, as I said, notes back to the SIM or the SOAR software, which are data center wide cybersecurity packages, and say, we sent something. So they sent a message to us saying they sent something. We can send a message back to them saying we sent something. And again, comprehensive cybersecurity across the entire data center is what you need and what enterprises are looking for.
Got it. And let's shift a little bit to CapEx versus OpEx. And I remember that used to be a really hot topic. Maybe about what, seven to 10 years ago, everyone was talking about, oh, CapEx is shifting to more OpEx now, and you need to kind of slim down on some of the infrastructure, right? Once companies start really moving and offloading workloads to the cloud. Have you seen a shift? Because I guess Infinidat has a lot of capital expenditures, right? So you have physical boxes, some of the backup vendors utilize them, and some of the other larger companies as well utilize your storage. What are some of the trends that you've been seeing? Have you seen a straight like line and shoot up, or have you seen more of a neutral over the last, let's say, six to 18 months.
Yeah, so we see it as actually very neutral. In fact, in the IT press, there's constant articles about what's called a cloud repatriation, where high-performance data or data they're very paranoid about security, and yes, every cloud provider claims they've got completely secure infrastructure, and we work with all of them. In fact, our hybrid multi-cloud software, Infuse OS Cloud Edition, works with both Azure and with AWS. So we don't really care. But what we're seeing is really a move to hybrid multi-cloud. So certain data stays on-prem because of its performance characteristics, its cybersecurity characteristic and others, and other data sets go to the cloud. So from a storage perspective, and several analysts have written about this too, there are several workloads that are very cloud friendly. One is burst. Burst performance, burst capacity, but burst, not standard. Backup, archive, disaster recovery is an ideal thing. You put it out to the cloud, and if you have an earthquake or fire or, of course, a flood or whatever it is that damages your data center, you can recover right out of the cloud. So what we're seeing is this move to hybrid multi-cloud, where some data is on-prem in a private cloud, of course, right, which mimics a public. So private cloud on-prem, public cloud providers such as Microsoft, Amazon, Google, IBM, and there's thousands of smaller ones, and having a hybrid, some data on, some data off. It allows them to optimize security, performance, CapEx, because obviously instead of having a second array or a third array to replicate at a remote location, they go to the cloud. So those are the things that we see from a high-end enterprise perspective of how they want to manage their data and how they absolutely are incorporating cloud. But they're not pushing every single workload to the cloud. They found that between security issues and performance issues, it just doesn't work for a lot of companies. And of course, there is that cost. Highly transactional workloads are always moving data back and forth. And all the cloud providers do have to charge for that because they're moving data back and forth. It costs them money, so they have to charge their end users. And that for highly transactional workloads can be very expensive. But for these other workloads, it's a great solution. And in fact, when you put an Infinibox in the cloud for us, it's a full version. So your on-prem storage and your on-prem apps, think they're talking to an Infinibox or our all-flash Infinibox sitting in Microsoft Azure, when in fact, they think it's on-prem, but it's not. So we've created this seamless capability of moving data back and forth between on-prem and off-prem, and everything on-prem, including backup software, all the applications, our own boxes themselves, think there's a physical box out at Microsoft, when in fact, it's our software using Microsoft's hardware infrastructure underneath, but it behaves exactly like an on-premise array with every feature function. So that allows the end user to get the best of both worlds in a hybrid multi-cloud environment.
Have you had any conversations with anyone wanting to utilize storage for LLMs, for the large language model? Have you had that conversation yet, or is that one that doesn't come up often?
So actually, we announced at the end of Q4 an AI RAG architecture that will support agentic AI. Basically, what allows you to do anything with the NFS protocol, whether that be file data or as all the big databases support NFS, we can grab data. We create this reference architecture. We do it at no charge. Okay. It uses our existing storage systems. So there's no extra software involved. And our professional services team will do these engagements at no charge. All the end user needs to do is figure out what data sources they want. So as long as it's the NFS protocol, it could be our competitor storage. It could be storage that's sitting in the server farm. In this case, not an external array, but there is storage in almost all servers, particularly large ones. It can use the cloud because our InfuseOS Cloud Edition is a full version. We support NFS, SMB, right? So we don't care. So all you have to do is in the reference architecture, figure out, okay, these 10 things are on Infinidat arrays on-prem. These five things, data sources are sitting in large servers, right? Running with the apps. These other five data sources are other storage that's not Infinidat. And these other 10 storage are sitting out in the cloud on an Infinibox in the cloud. So all those together, we grab them. The key thing when you're using AI RAG and AI in general is to make sure that you're gathering all the data sources. Remember, the idea of AI is to be like a human. And as a human, let's say you're doing supply chain and you work at a car company and you're global. You got tons of different models, tons of different brands. You've got this Jeep and that Jeep and the SUV Jeep and the big SUV Jeep and 12 different colors. And you have all kinds of different radios and all kinds of different things. If you're using it for supply chain, where is the order coming from? As all the factories are getting shipments in all over the world, if they've got 20 factories making Jeeps all over the world, how do you know what screw to send to what factory, what size, and when? And humans do that, right? Using something like an SAP or the Oracle ERP. But with RAG, you can pull that data from everywhere. And that is critical so that you don't make a mistake and send screws to one factory when they need them at a different factory. Or you sent soft tops to one factory and they only make hard tops and the other factory makes the soft tops. All that does is disrupt your business and hurt your profitability. So AI is a huge topic with our customer base. And this new reference architecture that we have designed allows it to pull data from everywhere and use that with a vector database and LLMs or SLMs, if they're using an SLM. Doesn't matter to us. Whatever they pick, we can make our storage and any data set that's NFS protocol compliant work with that configuration.
Okay. And what advice would you give to CIOs and IT leaders who are evaluating their current storage infrastructure and maybe considering a change?
So I think there's a couple things. A, how do you integrate on the cyber side to make sure that data is protected? B, how are you handling CapEx and OpEx? We, for example, and it's going to be announced next week, We just won a leadership award from a storage analyst firm for storage as a service. So that would be an OpEx model. Okay, so how are you going to procure it and manage it? And how does that model help you deliver a greener IT environment? There's a lot of issues with that. How does it help you cut costs by managing that OpEx better? Clearly, what you're doing for performance, because performance can actually impact CapEx and OpEx. You don't want small array sprawl. At one customer, we consolidated 288 floor tiles to 61. Between CapEx and OpEx, they saved $61 million in 2 years. Another one of our customers went from 27 arrays from three different vendors to three arrays with us. Talk about saving watts, slots, power, floor space, operational IT resources. And of course, in both instances, the CapEx, because they were going to buy new, right, of the older technology, they're going to buy new ones. By switching to us, they saved on both CapEx and OpEx. So these are critical things you need to think of. Obviously, AI, can I use my existing storage for AI? And with us, you can. You buy some of ours and we'll still work with our competitors as long as the data that you need for your AI workload is in the supports the NFS protocol. So those are the key things that enterprises bring up. And it is a hot topic right now because they want to divert as much as they can to AI or cyber overall. And if you're spending it on storage, guess what? You're not spending it on those projects. And you have to have the storage because almost all data in the enterprise is stored on high-end external storage arrays.
Yeah.
You got to buy it anyway. So if you buy it the right way and it's most cost-effective on CapEx and OpEx, boom, there's money for that AI project you need to do. Or boom, for that cloud project you need to do. Or for any other project that may need to work, particularly on the cyber side. This stuff is not low cost, all these other projects. Saving money on storage frees up money to spend on those projects.
All right. And so just overall to me, just to recap, this conversation really makes it clear that modern storage is not just about where data is kept. It's about unlocking that performance and efficiency and also cost savings that drive real businesses. And so it's a real thing. And Eric, where can listeners learn more about Infinidat and also how it can help their businesses scale with confidence?
Absolutely. So go to our website at www.infinidat.com. We have dedicated pages on how to save money, including a calculator. We have dedicated page on AI, dedicated pages on cybersecurity. So take a look there, get in contact with us, contact us or our global channel partner community. We'd love to help. And I'd be remiss if I didn't have to do the little ad. 28% of the Fortune 50 use Infinidat. So we may be small, but 28% of the 50 biggest companies use us. So that should say something about the technical and business value we deliver to these large Fortune companies.
Well, congratulations on all of these success over there. And you, did you go to Infinidat after IBM, from IBM to Infinidat?
Yes. I was at IBM Storage, the CMO and the VP of Channels. In fact, we did a couple data protection gumbos when I was at IBM.
Yeah.
I think you might have done it when you first started, when I was at EMC, when you first got the ball rolling.
Yeah, right?
You were at EMC when I was at EMC, if I remember correctly.
That was going.
And you said, hey, Herzog, how about presenting? Way back when. So I've 6 or 7 of these at least I've done for you over the years. But
most
recently IBM Storage before I came to Infinidat 3 years ago.
And we truly appreciate it over here at Data Protection Gumbo. Always having great guests on like yourself with lots of insight as well. And for the listeners out there, if you found this episode insightful, be sure to subscribe, share, and also leave a review. And until next time, everyone, stay secure and back up often.